And I was really trying hard, but I just didn't try hard enough, actually. I ran out of time. I thought I could do two chapters in one, but it just wasn't happening. And so there may be times when we can, because some of them are just shorter chapters, and there's not as much to discuss in them. I'm going to draw back from one of our previous teachings. So we'll see about that. We do have a question about that as well. We'll see how we do with that, but I will help you with it because I know we've all slept a lot since then. The book of Proverbs, very interesting. So I want to tell Brother Kinnard, thank you. He gave me a resource book as well, and I've been reading up on that as well and throwing some things, taking that from Brother Gene Cantor's resource book that Brother Kinnard loaned to me. And then putting some other things together on Proverbs and then trying to bring it to where we're at. How does it apply to our lives right now, where we're living? Because sometimes we look at the Old Testament and we're like, oh, those are old books, and, you know, that's, and we know it's good, but we're like, well, you know, how does that apply to us now? It definitely applies to us now. I think we need wisdom more than ever before. So we've been discussing what wisdom is and all that good stuff. Is everybody getting settled? Looks like you got pens and papers and, okay. Thank you, my friend. Everybody got one that needed one? Okay, so we have made a lot of progress. We are to chapter 4. there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, so we're going to be at this a while. But that's okay. We don't have anywhere to go. And so unless Jesus comes, and then, you know, it's all good. So it may take us a little while to go through this. And some of Proverbs is a little bit, Solomon goes over it and over it. Some of the concepts, he goes over it again. And sometimes he says kind of the same thing two or three times. And we may say, well, that's pretty redundant. Maybe, you know, why was he just, you know, driving that so much? But what he was doing when he wrote the Proverbs was he was trying to leave something for his children to begin with. And probably unbeknownst to him, the Holy Ghost was leaving something for all of God's children. But Solomon, when he was penning it, was trying to get a message across to his sons, because he knew that they would be coming up and would be ruling the kingdom at some time. And so that's why a lot of times it says, to my son, you know, and he's addressing his children. But God knew in the big picture of everything that there was going to be a church, and there was going to be a body of Christ, and we were going to need to know and understand the wisdom of God to make it through the world in which we live. And so that's why we're studying the book of Proverbs. So I put it up there, a study in the book of Proverbs, the takeaway from chapter 4. When I say the takeaway, it means I pulled out the important concepts and how it applies to us now. And I'm not saying this is the whole thing that you could gather from it, but these are the nuggets that I pulled from it. So we'll be talking about that. Let's go to this slide. Maybe. Oh, no, not there. There we go. Okay. So wisdom, not an option, but a command for the child of God. Now, we've discussed this before. The minute we hear command, there's just something about that. Even the most humble people, when you hear command, we're almost like, You know, because there's something about when we're going to command something of somebody that we automatically are, well, I'm an American. You know, I'm a free moral agent, which we are. I'm born in America. You don't have to, you can't command me. And so there is something within us sometimes that kind of rises up when we hear command. But the bottom line is that the Word of God does command us to gain wisdom. As a child of God, it's not an option. It's just like Pastor has preached that the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost, is not an option. The next step in our relationship with Jesus Christ is to seek the Holy Ghost and to be filled with the empowerment from on high. It was the gift that Jesus left for us. And so wisdom is a gift. And as we've just, and let me just run through this real quick again. Let's get our foundation again. Wisdom, as we understand it in the book of Proverbs, was personified as a female But wisdom, the wisdom and all the character that is taught in Proverbs is actually the personification of Jesus Christ. The morals that are taught in Proverbs are the morals that God has. It's the morals that Jesus lived when he was here. And as we go through this, we'll see it more and more. And through this learning, when we learn the Proverbs, we're actually learning the very character, heart, and morality of God. And so that's why he commands us to learn it. It's not just so we won't be dumb. He's like, no, when you learn this wisdom, you're learning me. And so he commands it. So that is the why. You can put your own answer in there for your why, or you can use an answer like that, but you can think about it some more. But wisdom is not an option, but a command. It's not because I said that. I'll show it to you here in the scripture in just a minute. So in that being said, it should be a focus in our life. It should be a focus. And it shouldn't just be a focus one Sunday night out of the month. It has to be a focus every day of our life. Because walking through this life, every day we get up, there's choices to be made. And there's wisdom that we need to have in every part of our life. So keep that in mind as we go to the next part. Okay, I'm not going to show. Let me premise this picture real quick. Okay. Yeah, prepare yourselves. So, I said, wisdom is not an option, but a command for the child of God. And then I said, why? And I answered, why? And I answered it with a mature answer, I felt like. But here's the true story. 5-year-old me wondering how they got to fit a whole chicken into one nugget. That is why we need wisdom. So, you know, when you're 5 years old and they said, you want a chicken nugget? You know, they're thinking, yeah. How did they get that whole chicken into that nugget? Little kids, they just take it, you know, at face value. And they're just innocent. They don't know any different. When you say chicken nugget, they think, okay, there's a whole chicken in this little bitty nugget. And so when you look at that, and of course, that's Baby Yoda, and he if anyone can figure it out, he can. But God does not want us to stay in 5-year-old wisdom in a 35-plus old body. He doesn't even want us to stay a 5-year-old wisdom in a 10-year-old body. Do you want your children, do you want your teenagers, even though it sometimes it happens to pick on the teenagers, huh, of course, do you want 5-year-old wisdom in the 16-year-old body when they're driving a car? No, we all want to, we want them to grow in what? Wisdom. And how do we help these 16-year-olds grow in wisdom when they're dealing with getting their driver's license? We tell them, go out there and press the pedal down as hard as you can and go as fast as you can. You'll get there quicker. Yeah, is that the wisdom we teach them? No, because we've lived longer and we've learned wisdom. I remember my dad would always tell me, speed kills, speed kills, speed kills. And I was like, he just drilled it, speed kills. And I probably drilled it in my kids, speed kills. You know, you just got to keep a handle on it. So wisdom is something that we learn. And wisdom is something we also got to pursue. You can't think that wisdom is going to be something you just receive through osmosis. So think about that. Do you remember in science, young people, what osmosis is? Who can explain to me what osmosis is? Okay. And so there's no real action that one concentration does. It's just that one can basically transfer into the other. They just receive it. They soak it in. And so, you know, wisdom's not that away. Wisdom has to be pursued. And so wisdom has to be sought. And the whole book of Proverbs talks about that. So if we want to progress past the 5-year-old chicken nugget wisdom, we're going to have to dig in a little deeper, okay? So here we go. Let's look at the scriptures. And this is Proverbs. Oh boy, it's really tiny, isn't it? Sorry, I was trying to get that a little bit bigger. I was on a little time crunch there, but I'll read it to you. Or get your Bibles out. I can read it off of my iPad here. So I'm going to read through. This is the first 14 verses, and I'm going to speed read, so follow along. Here we go. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Verse 5, get wisdom. It was a command. That's an imperative statement. Get it. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Many times over, he is exhorting us, get it, get it, get it. Don't let it go. So, and number two, the first one. In verse 5, we are to get what? Okay, April's had wisdom. Who's keeping score for me? You going to keep score for me too, Isaac? He's like, I guess I am. Yeah. Okay, now I do have a typo here. So, it's not verse 6. In verse 8, we are to fill in the blanks. Who has the answer? Let me say something. Exalt her. Yep. Next blank. In verse 8. Embrace. So, exalt her, promote, and embrace wisdom. I'm so sorry that is really small up there. You have to just read your Bibles or look at your phones. <You see it. Okay. laughs> Good job, Alex. It looked bigger on there, and I couldn't get it in time. So, that's two for the seniors. Not really seniors. So, in verse 8, we are to exalt her, promote her, and embrace her. Okay, somebody give me an explanation. How would you exalt wisdom? Give me an example. Okay. And how would you lift that up? How it says we're to exalt wisdom. We're to lift it up. How, Brother Kinder? Good. Put the wisdom to use. Very good. Good combination answer there. Promoting it. Promoting it is somewhat like exalting it. Putting it forward. Showing it. Putting it to use. What? Say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in fearing and reverencing God, that's the start of wisdom. And then the last one, embrace wisdom. How would we show an example of embracing wisdom? Okay. You embrace it. Choice. Very good. Great job. Choosing it every time. And so we're going to get into this a little bit more, seeing that wisdom in everyday life is always a choice. And we have discussed that, but sometimes through the pattern of our life and when we just get going, we don't recognize the choices that are happening right in our midst. But there's continual choices being presented to us. Okay, in your handout it says, life is always moving regardless if we are sitting still. We are in perpetual movement toward eternity. So we're always on a path. We're always moving. So we've got to embrace this concept. I know everybody probably knows this once we've talked about this, but are we living like this? Are we living every moment of each day recognizing we're in this perpetual path? We are moving somewhere. We're going towards something. And the bottom line is we're going toward eternity. We're in this perpetual pathway. And so there's no setting down. We can't get off the merry-go-round. We can't just say, nah, I don't think I'm going to today. I'm not going to get any older today. I'm not going to progress. I'm just not doing anything. No, we might not get a lot accomplished, but we will still move forward. We will still get more gray hairs. we will still get a little more breakdown in our skin, and we will get a little older because we are perpetually moving. So when we are perpetually moving, it's very important. Now, here's some laws of physics. It's very important is when you are moving that you pay attention where you're going. It's real important. Because if you're sitting still, you don't really have to worry about it as much. But if you are moving, if you put yourself in motion, it's important that you watch where you're going. Okay, I have some examples here in just a minute. It's just important. Maybe I need to have some live examples here in a minute. And so if we just go through life blindly, we're going to crash. We're going to crash. Okay? And so wisdom is like opening our eyes to see, okay, what path are we really on? So I want you to ponder a couple things as I move on to the next slide. I want you to think about your path. You are on a path. I don't even know if I am on a path. Yeah, we are. We're all on a path. What is your path? Where is it leading? You may say, where's leading to heaven? I'm going to heaven. Yes, leading to heaven. Okay. Is the path you're on really leading to heaven? That's what we're going to talk about. Because you're on a path. We're all on a path. And wisdom is the ability to make sure we're on that right path every moment of every day. Okay? So we got to think about it in these deeper terms. Okay? So here we go. Let me move to the next slide. Okay. Number four. Who's the first one to get it? Okay. Pay attention where you're walking. How many times have you told your kids this when they're little? Pay attention where you're walking. Don't run out in the street. You know. Don't walk too fast. Get back here. You know, because children, and because they do not have as much wisdom, they have the 5-year-old chicken nugget wisdom thing going on. You know how they walk? You know, I've seen my grandkids do that. You know, they see each other, they see someone coming through the door, and they're just like, and they're doing this, and they're like, bam. And I got to be careful, I'll be bam. I can be looking forward and be bam. But that's 5-year-old chicken nugget wisdom. You know, they just don't know. And they're moving in this perpetual motion, but they're not paying attention. They don't realize that they're on a path of destruction, basically, a path of crashing, all right? And so let me give you a classic example of this. What was it? Hey, what a good analogy. Whose hand should we be holding? Literally a parent, spiritually, God's. Absolutely, good answers. Because God will direct our path through wisdom. Do you have something? Oh, that's good. You're supposed to love God, and you do love God. That's good. Okay, I'm going to show you a couple things here. Okay. Oops, I didn't want to do that. I don't know if it's going to work. It's going to give the end. Yeah, there it gives the animation. Okay. We got some problems going on here. We've got issues. Okay, so the feller there was looking off somewhere else, and he didn't judge the stairs in front of him well. Notice where, when he goes back up, where he's looking off somewhere. He's not looking at his feet. He's not looking at his path, and he's majorly crashing. I would just crack up. And so I have had a major crash like that in my life. I'm sure some of you all have had those before too. I was in 9th grade, maybe 10th grade, here in Chelsea, and I was at the FFA banquet, and I was like the FFA sweetheart thing, and so I was all dressed up to go to the banquet, and I had walked upstairs to the restroom, and then I came back, and I was stepping down the stairs, and it was over at Macintosh. I don't know, some of you know where the old Macintosh was. I was stepping down. And I was like, this dude, I don't know. You know, you're looking off and you're seeing where your friends are. And I was like, ah. And I stepped off and I missed the step. I slid all the way down that staircase. Not only that, I slid across the floor because it was slick in a dress. It was bad. And so I was like just laying out there on the floor, and I was just totally, I jumped up from there. And I don't know how I made it up the steps so quick, but I ran back up those steps, hid in the bathroom the whole time until the whole thing was over. It was bad. You know, it's just one of those things, and it was classic. I would laugh at myself now, but it was rough then. But it was because I was not paying attention. I wasn't paying attention where my path was, okay? And so things like this happen. The enemy wants to cause us to do this. And I know this looks funny, and it's classic to watch people fall. It's pretty funny. But as long as nobody gets hurt. But seriously, some of us spiritually have been here. Spiritually, we've been here. We've been on the floor. I got this. I'm not going to do that. The wisdom was saying inside, yep, Mike, don't go there, don't go there. Wisdom was saying, yep, I wouldn't do that. I got this. Here we go. Wisdom will always speak to us on the inside. How many of us know that? You've heard the still small voice. You've heard that. You've heard either. Sometimes you just hear the voice. You feel that reservation. You feel that unction, we call it. Sometimes God sends a verbal to us through someone else to give us wisdom. You're going to crash. Make the right decision, okay? So watch where you're walking. Okay, now, here's some questions. Whoever gets number 4 first. Okay. Oh, that's the first point, I think, for the youngins. Okay. Self-discipline. Wisdom leads to self-discipline. And what's the next one? Oh, that was a tie. Good. I don't know. I think Brother John may have inched it in there just a little bit. And self-discipline deepens wisdom. Let's stop and talk about this a minute. Let's look at the other slide. Self-discipline begins with the mastery of our thoughts. So chapter 4 was talking about get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom. But as he's telling us to get wisdom, as you follow through the scriptures, he's telling them certain things to do that are actually actions of self-discipline. Because you won't get it without self-discipline. We can't even begin to master it without self-discipline. So begins with the mastery, let's start here, of your thoughts. Believe it or not, to keep from tripping and falling, it actually starts here. It starts in your thoughts. You know, you're thinking about, you know, you don't just walk out there and, you know, just step over something you don't think you can step over. Your brain goes, nope, you better go around that. And so it all starts in your thoughts. If you don't control what you think, you cannot control what you do. Okay, here we go. All the young people, 34 and under, repeat after me. If you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do. Do it again. If you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do. Okay. All right. Now, everybody, we said, yes, they need to hear that. Okay, 36 and older, here we go. If you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do. If you don't control, I messed it up. Okay. Yeah, if you don't control it. If you don't control what you think, you can't control what you do. Very good. Okay. And we're going to be wrapping that. Now, Brother Kenner tonight in the bed is going to be going, da 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 da. And so, and that's all good stuff. And so, and it is exactly the truth. And so, if you don't control it, if you don't bring it under subjection, and the Bible says to bring every thought into captivity and obedience unto Christ. It's like gather it together, bring it under subjection. And this is an all-day, everyday activity. And so, you may be saying, yeah, I got it pretty much together today. It's an all-day thing. You can get up and you've got it together. You've had devotion. You have prayed. You feel good. You're not mad at anybody. You haven't had this big negative call yet. You know, everything's going pretty good. None of the customers seem to be mad today. And Nobody's throwing a fit, and you walk out the door, but something happens. And so we have to stop right then. It's time for wisdom. It's time to pull it in. It's time to bring our thoughts. We have to bring our thoughts under control, because otherwise we will make a wrong choice and we will end up doing. We will exalt, and Brother Kennard and Sister Lindsay brought this out, we will exalt something other than what? Wisdom. What are we exalting? And so, and we, you say, no, I'm not going to exalt what? I'm not going to exalt the devil. We all have, not per se maybe him in particular, but his ways, his kingdom, through choices. Wisdom says, bring it under subjection. Get wisdom. That's why it's so important to focus on this. So I want us to understand, church, that self-discipline is very important. Self-discipline and wisdom go together. And that's why wisdom's just not a natural thing, because you have gray hair. And the Bible even tells us that. You know, the Bible says that, you know, the hoary head, the white head, is not necessarily a sign of great wisdom. It can be, but it may not be, because it's not the color of your hair. It is the obedience, the sensitivity, and the self-discipline, the yieldedness to the Spirit of God. So let's talk about this a minute. Give me your ideas about this. We're talking about self-discipline. And so a lot of times people fall out with this, especially in our realm, because they're saying, we are not supposed to walk in self. You say self is sin. We preach against the self life. So, and I'm up here saying self-discipline is linked with godly wisdom. So let's discuss this a minute. Why do you think, and I have my premise for where I'm coming from, but I want to discuss this with you. Why do you think I think that self-discipline is linked with godly wisdom? Say it louder. Okay, that's a good angle from that. Very good. What'd you have, David? Yeah, and you were starting to say something, if you can't control. Good. Both answers. Great. If we cannot tell ourselves no, we will have a real hard time telling God yes. It's all linked together. It is. It's all linked together. And so when I'm talking about self-discipline, we're talking about being able to tell ourselves no at any given time in any situation, so that we can say yes to God. Okay? So let's keep going on this. Let's look at the next slide. Don't play it yet, Lucas. Okay, so some of you may be familiar with this movie, and some of you may not. It's an older movie, and it's based on a true story. So let me give you a little premise and why I'm even talking about this. We've been talking about self-discipline, how it ties together. And actually, I mean, as far as this being like a super spiritual movie, no, it's not. But it is a story. It is a story about self-discipline and how people can achieve through self-discipline. And let me give you kind of, I'm just going to have Lucas do a trailer about this, to show the trailer about this movie. It's a good movie. It's worth watching. But what I want us to glean from this is that this was a real school in Pennsylvania, and it was just this little small Catholic college. And they didn't have much funding. They didn't have much going on up there. It was an all-girls school, and they weren't funding them very much. They didn't even have a gymnasium, but they did have this little ragtag basketball team. But they didn't even have a gymnasium to play in, so they just played out in the streets. And and went down to the park. That's where they played to begin with. They just had nothing, didn't have any uniforms, but they had this, quote, program. And so, but all of the young girls, all of everybody on the team, they were just like bummed. They were not achieving anything. They were continually losing. Okay, let's stop right there. Spiritually speaking, is there any area in our life where we're continually losing? Hold that thought. Put a marker there. Okay? Bookmark that. They were continually losing. There's a lot of reasons why they were. But one of the reasons why they were that, or how do I want to say this? The reason they were losing was not because they were not talented players. That's not why they were losing. They had no self-discipline. They had no inspiration. They had no motivation. They had lost all of their drive. And they had just given in that this is the way I will always be. Okay, spiritually, have we been there in certain areas of our life? Okay, so let's think about this. The inspiration that we're going to get from this, and it's actually, like I said, it's an interesting story. It's based on a true story. So I don't want to be a spoiler, but, you know, it turns out pretty good, but they go through a hard time. And there's a new coach that goes. Okay, a new coach comes in, and she starts a new program. So, spiritually speaking, who's your coach? Mm-hmm. And the Holy Ghost. Okay, you have a new coach. You're not your own coach. They were their own coach there for a while, and look where it was getting them. They were just coaching themselves. The girls were just at each other's throats. They were mad at each other all the time. They were like, couldn't play together as a team. And they were just, they said, we're never going to be any good. They just had given up. And so, but a new coach comes in. And this new coach comes in. She starts working with them, but she's not like, oh, I am so sorry. This is terrible. And she sat down and cried with them. And you guys, this is so sad that you're so bad. Let's all have a pity party. And, you know, let's just finish out the rest of the year and just not worry about it. And we'll just see if we can even make it through a game. That's not what she did. She came in there and she began to train them. She began to teach them that you can overcome. We don't have to stay the same. She gave them new game plans. And so I want to kind of present to you tonight that that's kind of what this wisdom teaching is. New game plans to win. A new game plan to be victorious in the areas that we maybe are struggling in repetitively. We were not born again to be a loser. Pastor said we are valuable. He preached on it. How valuable. We were not bought with a price to be losing continually. We were bought to be winners, to overcome. And so this story, she begins to drill them. She got them out. She was running them early in the morning. They hated it. Some of them got mad. Some of them walked off the court and never came back. She started drilling them back and forth, and they were like, we're not going to do this, and they left. Spiritually, we could do that. But the ones who stayed with it, as the story goes on, and it was through a lot of difficulty, a lot of stress, a lot of strain, she worked them hard. But eventually, it began to pull out the best out of each one of them. So through this teaching, that's what I'm thinking, is that the Holy Ghost, through this wisdom teaching, he's going to pull out the best out of each one of us. And he's also going to show us the worst, because he wants to transform it. Pull out the best. And then they began to work as a team. And it's just phenomenal. You play the trailer now. It's just clips of it, but I know you guys are going to be, oh, I want to watch the whole thing, but sorry, it's just a clip.
In 1971, Kathy Rush was a woman ahead of her time.
I got a destination.
I only
knew a few things about the college. It was all girls. Their basketball team wasn't very good. And the school was founded and run by the nuns.
We're going up the team, right?
Why? So we can continue to get crushed by all the bigger schools?
We're in.
Are you suggesting that our girls will become athletes?
If they want to win, yes.
I'll be satisfied if you just use these activities to suppress their hormones.
She already has a husband. Why would she want to work?
We know she's married to, right?
Ed Rush, the NBA rep.
She had the faith to dream big.
Girls' locker room?
Right through there, door marked ladies' room.
And the passion to change lives.
One, two, three, team.
Fight for it.
This is so unladylike.
But when the odds were stacked against her...
Your entire team broke curfew last night.
She got a little help from some new friends.
Watch the pick and roll!
See your man and the ball. Find him and box out.
B-I-C-T-L-R-Y!
Carla DeGino, David Boreanaz, and Academy Award winner Ellen Burstyn. Based on a true story where sometimes...
For every team that thought they never had a chance...
When you believe in a dream...
That dreams are only for rich kids.
No, dreams are for everybody. But you have to believe it.
Miracles happen.
And the Immaculata College has gone to the finals!
This is what we've been working for all year.
The Mighty Max.
What's interesting about this really small school was they started playing big schools way out of their league. And they actually went, and I was reading again, they won three times the championship, playing in schools way out of their league. And how that just pulling that together, recognizing their weaknesses, and not succumbing to their weaknesses, not just saying, oh, I'll never make it, or I'm not worth anything, or I can't contribute anything. Spiritually speaking, in this church, everybody has something to contribute. We can't just sit and say, well, look, I can't do this or I can't do that. Yeah, there's something you can do. And you are valuable. You're part of the team. And that's the way this was. They had to recognize. And there was, as you follow the story through, there was a couple girls. There was one that came from a bad family life, you know, and she was struggling. And one came up from a real poor family, you know, and they just didn't have the same things. They were just from various different, you know, parts of society, but as they began to work together and this coach pulled them together and caused them to realize, hey, for us to win, we've got to work as a team. Wisdom says you work as a team. Wisdom says that you allow the Holy Ghost to guide your life so we can move together as one unit, okay? And so as you think about these concepts, and I realize it's like a natural thing, but there's a good application here. There's a good analogy here going with this same movie. So let's look at this next thought. Self-discipline means establishing authority over one's own habits, routines, and priorities. I didn't give anybody a chance to jump up on that one. Sorry. I got that one. And not being under their control. Do you ever feel like your schedule, your routine, and your habit is controlling you? I know you probably at times feel like your schedule is controlling you. You're driven by your schedule. Sometimes you're driven by your habits. We're driven by those. But self-discipline says you're not going to be under control of any of those. That you bring them under subjection. Relinquishing my control to God's control equals wisdom. Relinquishing. Somebody give me the quick definition. What am I saying? Relinquishing. Let it go. Letting it go. Releasing it. Very good. So when we release it to God and get it under His control. So self-discipline. So many times, if we're not careful, we pray, God, take this from me. God, make me a better person. God, help me to do the right thing. Well, God, we can pray, God, help me do things. We can pray these things, but here's the bottom line. And take it back to the analogy of the basketball team. You have to put forth the effort. They couldn't just sit there and wish to be a better player. They couldn't say, Coach, help me do this better. She said, get up and practice it. Help me dribble better. Well, how could she teach him to dribble better? She gave him the ball, and she said, do it. And she would correct them where they were wrong and showed them, you know, she would illustrate to them certain things to do, but she could not dribble for them. Spiritually speaking, God can't dribble the ball for us. Wisdom says, I get up. I gain wisdom. I do something about it, okay? I apply it in my life. Okay. Now we're going to go to something that I borrowed. I'm keeping track of the time here. Let me see. Oh, boy, what I did. I lost my whole thing. Go, team. Here we go. No. Here we go, maybe. Still not here yet. Yeah, it's like I lost my... Oh, there we go. Okay. One brief intermission. I fell and dropped the popcorn there. So, okay. Am I really teachable? This is a self-test. So everybody get your pens out and your papers. You are not judging anyone else but yourself. And see all those little crazy numbers I've got there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the 2 is just random. Ignore it. On your paper. You're going to answer these questions. So you answer yes or no. You may say, well, maybe. No, I want you to try to be definite. If it's maybe, it's probably, yeah, you probably do that. Okay? Do I listen more than I talk? Do I listen more than I talk? Yes or no? Do I listen more than I talk? Am I open to change my opinion based on new information? Be honest. Am I open to change my opinion based on new information? Do I readily admit when I'm wrong? It's painful. What? It's not easy for anybody, I don't think. Do I readily admit when I'm wrong? Number 5, am I open to doing things I haven't done before? Am I open to doing things I haven't done before? Number 6, am I willing to ask for directions? That includes driving down the road. Men. And sometimes women. Am I willing to ask for directions? Other Alex, like, yeah. Am I open to other people's ideas? Okay. So I borrowed this from johnmaxwell.com. And it's this little self-examination quiz that's supposed to help us understand, am I really teachable? Okay. And so when we started our teaching on wisdom, part of the definition over in the Hebrew meaning for our English word wisdom was circumspect, consider, self-controlled, which we've been talking about, knowledgeable, understanding, and teachable. So the Hebrew word said, this is what wisdom is, all this stuff. And teachable is one of them. So we have a teachable test here. So we'll do the answers here in just a minute. You don't have to tell your answers. Oh, she just wants to tell your answers. You don't have to. But here's what's going to happen. Let me show you. If you answer no to one or more of these questions, then you have room to grow in the area of teachability. So I doubt there's no one in this room that said yes to every one of this. If you have a no on your page anywhere, then you have room to grow in the area of teachability. So I think probably, unless you just didn't understand the question, we're probably all in the same boat, I would venture to say. We're all in the same boat. You need to soften your attitude. This is John Maxwell. This is not me saying this. I borrowed it from him, and I qualified it. And so he says, you need to soften your attitude, learn humility, and remember, everything we know, we learn from someone else. Everything we know, we learn from someone else. We didn't come out like as brilliant as we are today. We used to really think a chicken was in a chicken nugget. You saw it, didn't? Yeah, you did. Or something similar to it. And so, everything that we know, we've learned from someone else. So, that being the case, Are we to the point to where we can't learn anything else? Have we arrived? No. Wisdom says, I always have a teachable spirit. I'm always able to be taught. And so to be able to be taught something, you have to listen more than you talk. If you're in a conversation and you are the one who talks the whole time, you're not gonna learn anything. You're not gonna learn anything more from yourself. You gotta learn it from someone else. You know. And so if I listen more than I talk, I'm not teachable, not as teachable. Am I open to change my opinion based on new information? Do I even want to hear new information? So I'll give myself an example. Brother Lucas came to me last time after my last teaching. He said, hey, Mom. He said, hey, there's this different program other than PowerPoint. He said, you ought to try it. And you can upload it on your iPad and help the situation back here in the back, and it works better and it's more up to date. And you know what? Inside, my first was like, not because Lucas suggested it to me. You want to know what it was? I got to learn something new. I'm like, well, I already know PowerPoint inside and out. I went to use it all through college, Lucas. You know, and so, but there's something better. There's something new, but I didn't know how to run it, you know, yet. I'm using it tonight. I'm still not right, you know, real good at it, but I'm using it. And so, are you open to new information? At first, sometimes we're not. But wisdom says we listen, we be open. And do I readily admit when I'm wrong? Everybody in here does that, don't we? We really admit when we're wrong. Yeah, yep, man, it was me. I was really wrong and you were right. That's rough sometimes. But if we're teachable, we will readily do that. Am I open to doing things I've never done before? So, pastor asks you to do something you haven't ever done before. Are you open to it? You're probably going to be like me with this program at first, and inside you may be going, you know. But you may say yes. And so being teachable. Let's continue through here. Am I willing to ask for directions? You're working on something. How about young people when you're back in the sound booth? Are you willing to ask directions? Oh, no, I'll figure it out. Well, you know what? If you'd ask, figured out faster. You know, ask somebody who knows. And so, are we willing and are we open to other people's ideas? As Christians, if we're not careful, wisdom teaches us that we need to be being open to other people's ideas. Doesn't mean you accept it or condone it. We're not saying that. We're saying that you listen. And we taught this in communication. You just listen to it. If we just are absolutely not even going to listen to it, you know, unless it's something like, I'm not talking about something like this, very, like a reprobatable thing or something like that, but I'm just talking about new ideas, being open to new ideas. So to have a teachable spirit, so as we embrace this whole teaching, chapter 4, about get wisdom, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get teachable, or we're not going to get wisdom. We will set through this whole boring class with Sister Pepper, and you'll be like, I heard this whole thing about wisdom, but if I'm not teachable, you won't have anything when you leave. We have to learn to be teachable, okay? Next part. Let's see if I'm teachable. Okay, here we go. Think about the other one, the guy here with the problem on his face. Wait a minute on that. We'll talk about that here in a minute. So the guy with the problem on his face. Let's see. Oh, that's not what I want to do. It's all good. Okay, it should be. I should get an animation on here, but that's okay. Okay, we have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Who designed that pattern? God, okay. God, he said, okay, I'm going to help these people out, all of us. He says, I'm going to give them two ears, one mouth. You know, some people may not even need one mouth, you know, but that's the way God designed us. You know, that's what he decided. He said the best way was just to have one mouth and not two mouths and one ear. Woohoo! Look what I would do. And so that's what's going on with this guy. He says, am I still human? Does it still count? And so he has one ear and two mouths. How many of us have met someone who has one ear and two mouths? Absolutely. How many of us have been a one-eared, two-mouth monster. We must admit it. We must admit it. There might be a few of us in here that are naturally very timid. I don't know what I got going on here. That are naturally just shy. And you guys have an edge on us because the rest of us are generally blab our mouths. We're a little more extroverted. And so, but God designed us not only with one mouth and two ears to not be annoying all the time, but also so we can walk in wisdom. So we can learn. We can learn. We can grow. We can become something more than what we were before. So this wife saying, see the old guy kind of, you know, the picture of the guy behind the scenes. His name is Epaphroditus. You guys all know who he is, huh? I didn't either until, so I looked him up. I knew he was some great philosopher, you know, but he was a Greek philosopher. Interesting that he lived, he died at 134 A.D., so it wasn't too much long after, and he died in Rome, after the church. So, you know, it wasn't too much long. So there was, you know, he was close to being contemporaries with certain ones. And so he lived during that time, and he was this Greek philosopher. And so he came up with this saying, we have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. So wisdom says, I listen. And then I embrace. I take it in. Okay? Let's look at the next part. We're going to finish some scriptures here. I did better on the scriptures here because I didn't copy and paste them. So here we go. This is the rest of the chapter. That's why I can only do one chapter tonight, because there's a lot of verses in this chapter. And we're going to speed read, and then we're going to pull out some things. Now, if you find answers as you go along, don't shout them out. But if you find them, write them down, and you stand up here in a minute. Enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. Four times. Keeps telling them almost the same thing. It's like, come on guys, get it. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. We've seen that happen tonight. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Would you rather walk on a path that is lit or a path that is dark? Obviously. Good job, Holly. Exactly. You don't want to fall, huh? And so the way of the wicked is darkness. They know not what they stumble. And my son, attend to my words. Here he is, Solomon talking to his boys again. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Listen up. Let them not depart from thine ears. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And then it says, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all of their flesh. Okay. Let me stop right there. You guys have filled in everything we know we've learned from someone else. So verse 14, we are not to enter into the what? Ooh, all together now. I think that was a tie. The path of the wicked. The path of the wicked. All right. And so according to verse 15, we are to blank, 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 and pass away. Wow. All together now. I think we got some teamwork going on here. We can turn that into a little jingle rap thing going on here. Jingle is the old people's rap, I guess. So, okay, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Okay, here we go. Now, this may be subjective. I have a character in mind, but you already have a character? Okay, Jason wants to jump in on this. Okay, he says Lot. Does anybody else have a different character? Anybody want to protest that answer? What do you say, Hallie? That's always good. That is always good. Can you name a character in the Old Testament that did not use wisdom when choosing where he would live? Lot's wife, yeah. And that ties in with Lot. What do you have? That's another good one, the foolish man. And Samson. Samson went down into the camp of the Philistines. And so he wasn't living down there, but he went down there looking for what? A wife. You're like, okay, young people, do not go to the camp of the Philistines to look for a wife. What is the camp of the Philistines? Yeah, don't go to Sodom either. You probably won't find a wife. If you go to Sodom, you won't find a wife. So we're like, wisdom says. It's this life. And so, okay. So, all of those answers are good. Those are good. And I knew there could be more than one, but the one I had in mind was Lot. The reason being, what did he say? So Abraham brings his nephew in here, and his nephew that is like, as it depicts Lot, I mean, you know, basically, I guess it did say he was a righteous man, but to me, when you read about Lot, it's like, it's almost like he mooched off of Abraham, you know. He was like always just getting what he could from Abraham, because Abraham brought him in. Abraham was the guy with the money. He had all the stuff. What do you have, Matthew? Uh-huh. That they wanted to go back there to live. Okay, very good. That was another illustration of that. They wanted to go back to Egypt, didn't they? Because they thought, man, there's food. The food there was better than the manna. You know, so there's various different illustrations in the Bible about this. The situation with Lot was that Abraham offered Lot a choice. So here's the deal. If I'm going to say me and Pastor Pepper we're going to offer Tate a piece of property. Now, Tate, me and Pastor Pepper are like nearing retirement. You're still in your prime. And we have these two pieces of property. And one is like, yeah, needs a little work. And the other one's like, it's not going to have to do anything with it. It's ready to roll. So, we own both pieces of property. Now, we say, okay, Tate, you get first choice. Your choice is going to reveal what about you? Yeah, it's going to reveal your character. So what are you going to choose, Tate? We want to see your character, Tate. Be honest, Tate. Okay. Well, there you go. That's you just never know about it. And so, yeah. So the bottom, that's very good. The bottom line is Lot showed his character. And as you reveal that, you watch Lot and these different things. You see the man, Lot was like, wasn't really always on the up and up. He was really taking advantage of Abraham's generosity. So he said, no, I'm going to take this good land over here. But what was the problem with the good land? Facing towards Sodom, and it was bordering with it. And not only was it bordering, when he got there and he started building his nice tent house, which way did he point his tent house? Towards Sodom. He didn't even turn his back to it. He didn't even put his back door to it. He put the front door to it. He pitched it towards Sodom. And so, did the path, remember, we're all on a path. We're always in momentum. Your life is moving. You're never on pause. None of us are ever on pause. Lot wasn't on pause. The choice that he made, did it affect his family? Severely. So the lesson we need to learn as far in wisdom and as we study these scriptures and the path, and it talks about avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. He's saying don't pitch your tent toward it. Don't even look that direction. But don't think you can be strong enough to resist it. Especially when you know. Well, there you go. Lot's wife turned back, looking back, and she turned into salt. She wanted it. Whether she wanted it in the beginning, we'll never know for sure. But he put his wife in a situation that if she had a propensity for weakness there, when she may have, that sealed it. So not only your decisions, a lot of times you may say, well, I'm strong enough, because Lot came out. But as you finish reading the story, Lot's children did not. And the ones that did come out were scarred, deeply scarred. Read the rest of the story. It's not good. And his wife may have had a weakness. We don't know that she had sin in her heart to begin with, but she may have had a weakness, and he put her in that position. Our decisions affect. Wisdom says your decisions are not your own. You don't. If you may say, well, it's not bothering anybody but me. No, that's not true. it will bother other people. It will affect other people. Wisdom says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it. Okay? So let's go down to the next frame. Let me ask one more question, then I'll go to the next frame. I won't show you this just yet. Godly wisdom says, if we are continually falling into sin or disobedience, then we must choose a different way. Okay, pretty obvious. And so I think Ken Hovind would say this. He's like, okay, if you keep coming back with the same, you know, you're doing an equation and you keep coming up with the wrong answer, you know, so what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to change your variables. You've got to change what you're doing. If you do it the same way over and over again, you keep getting the wrong answer, then change what you're doing. And so this is what wisdom and what Proverbs is teaching us through these verses. But the path of the just is a shining light. He says, go a different path. He says, the wickedness is darkness. And then he goes down to the bottom and he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. What? These commandments. Remember what was the initial command that we started tonight. What was our command? Get wisdom. Okay? All right. Now, we've talked about falling. We've talked about repeatedly falling into things. Wisdom says, don't do that. We do not have to do that. We were not born to be bound. You're not born again to be bound. None of us. We are born again to be set free, to be delivered, to walk in victory. Okay. We got a problem here with this one. Okay, we got another issue here. Okay. Oh, dear. That looks pretty brutal there. Okay. I see a couple problems with this picture. The first problem I see is, why on earth was she walking that path? We could have walked in the grass. You know, why are we doing that? Okay, she didn't fall in the hole by the grace of God, but she still hangs her toe and she falls. So spiritually speaking, why are we walking these paths where we're struggling, where we're falling, where we're having these repetitive problems? There's a better way to go. Wisdom says, don't go on the same path. You're going to get hung up every time. Wisdom says, choose another path. Okay. Coming toward the end here. Keep, Proverbs 4:23 through 27. Keep the heart with all diligence. Now, I didn't paraphrase, but I left out some words here, so I fit these on the screen. For out of it are the issues of life. And then ... ponder the path of your feet. Says, ... turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So wisdom, in chapter 4, the whole thing is talking about get wisdom and watch where you're walking. Watch where you're walking. Where are we walking? We are walking somewhere. I'm walking all right. Don't get on me so much about walking. Where are we at? What are we thinking? Are our thoughts under subjection? Because what you think is what you will do. And going back to our little story about the little team, what they thought to begin with was that they were no good and that they could never be better, that they could never get over their obstacles. And that's what they thought, so they never did. But spiritually speaking, if we're always thinking that away, we probably never will, because we won't even try. But wisdom says, try. Wisdom says you can, because you have someone who will help. And you can be an overcomer. God has not designed us to walk in defeat all the time. Okay? So the last part here. What was the final admonition given in chapter 4? Okay, very good. I remember years and years ago, I was at a youth rally, back when we had the youth rallies. And I was at Landmark Tabernacle. Can't remember who preached, but I was at the altar praying, and it was even before we had Jason. We didn't have any kids at that time, but I was praying for my family, praying for my lost family and things like that, and the Lord spoke to me, and I didn't even know the Bible very well then, and I didn't know this verse, but I do know that the Lord spoke to me, and he said, turn not to the right or the left, and I will reach your family. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting, you know. In my mind, I was like, that's interesting. I found it later in the Bible. You know, I was like, and I just came across it, and then I was like, okay, that's a promise from God. Absolutely was a promise from God, and God has been faithful to that. But has that been easy? Was I, from that youth rally, did I just get up and never strayed and never, you know, God just put me on remote control and it just all happened? No. There was a lot of trials. There was a lot of tests. There was a lot of things to cause me to veer sometimes, or to try to get me to veer. And I have to pull it back in. It takes effort to pull it back in. And so here we go. Last slide. Keep, which in the Hebrew meant guard. There's a lot more words it meant too, but one of the most powerful words there was guard it. Guard it, guard it, guard it. Guard your heart. Guard it just like an armed agent. Not just, keep my heart, No, guard it with everything in you. You protect it at all costs. And so, talk about costs. So, let's tie that back in. If something costs you, how does that tie into what we talked about at the very beginning of this teaching session? We talked about what? Self. Because self-discipline costs us something. It costs us something. And so, I'm going to finish with this. We've got to guard our heart. Proverbs says to guard it with all diligence. Protect it. You protect it like an armed man would protect something. Any threat to dethroning our allegiance to Christ must be annihilated. Not asked to leave. Not ignored. Not just close your eyes to it. Hope it goes away. No. Annihilated. When there is a threat that comes, if somebody threatens a police officer, or they would threaten a political leader, and it was a real threat, they don't close their eyes. They don't say, no, don't do that. They don't just all run. Well, some may run. But the ones who are trained, what do? They annihilate it. They take care of it because it's a threat. And so we have to view our decisions, we have to view wisdom as the guiding rule to help us annihilate the things that will steal our heart from God. And so that's the takeaway from chapter 4. Chapter 5 is going to be a completely different teaching, but it's going to be good. I'll just give you a quick preview on it. And it's probably going to be funny and have some interesting things in it too. But we're going to say that, how do I want to put it? Marriage wins. So chapter 5 is about marriage wins. So be prepared for that one next month. And we'll have some interesting things to bring to you on that. I hope this has been edifying to the church, challenging. I hope it's stirred us. I hope it's rallied us like that team to want to move forward and work together as a team, working individually on our own issues so that we can be a better team player for the whole team. And so, because we're all a unit here. And so when we work on our individual issues, whether it's whatever it is, if it's dribbling, if it's shooting, if it's stealing the ball, just basketball analogies, whatever our problem is, we deal with it so we can be a stronger team member. And so that's what wisdom will teach us. So thank you for your attention. Brother Jason, if you want to come up and close the service, appreciate everybody's attention. Don't forget to take your papers with you, and if you don't want them, take them with you anyway so we don't have to pick them up in the sanctuary. So, but you might want to read them later, so there you go.